Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com.
Mississippi State going on right now. Let's just dive right into it. What's exciting you right now about what's happening here in Starkville?
Oh, so much. You know, this time of year when students start coming back to campus, you always get excited. I know the streets will be full, shops will be full of all the supplies, but it's always a good time, too, to pause of, like, why we do what we do. And we do it because of we're under the umbrella of higher education. And, you know, we've actually got a family that's staying with us getting here tonight, and they're dropping their daughter off, and she's their first kid or the oldest sibling, first time to go to college. So you get all those emotions, and I think it just expands out of all the young people that are about to start their journeys at Mississippi State, and that's always special. Then within athletics, you know, this time of year means, okay, we got some competitions about to get started.
Yeah.
And with having, you know, volleyball has been in camp, soccer starts tomorrow night with their first game, and then clearly we just finished the fifth football practice earlier today, so we're already 20% way through camp. That means we got a lot of stuff about to start, and that's really exciting.
A friend of mine just texted me before the show started. He's a diehard Golden Eagle, and he's like, my daughter's on her way up here. He's like, I was like, give her my number. If you have any real trouble, let me help. I can't tell you how many of my friends from high school that were Rebels, Tigers, Golden Eagles, they send their kids to Mississippi State now. So I don't know what we're doing over there, but let's just keep doing that.
Because
I enjoy those conversations now that now they have to buy some new gear.
For sure. We need them to buy a lot of new merch. And, yeah, it's a special time, you know, for families. And, you know, my wife and I were talking. Our oldest daughter, Shane, just started her sophomore year in high school. And so it's like, man, we're going to be dropping her off on campus here in a couple of years. Time flies.
Yeah.
And we can't forget about, you know, again, why we're doing what we're doing. And there's nothing better than college campus.
That's interesting because we get a little bit cynical with what we do, especially with high-level football. You see that, you know, $50 million rosters and professional athletes, but still at its core, you're still doing the same things that you've always done in terms of trying to get these young men and women on track to get degrees. And, I mean, from 18 to 22, there's a lot of growth in your life that goes on beyond just, you know, the NIL money, that kind of stuff that you have to deal with.
Yeah, sometimes you see whether it's resources or just the size of athletes now, but at the end of the day, they're still young people. And, you know, I know move-in on campus starts tomorrow for some groups and goes throughout the weekend. And just like everybody else, we'll have 70, just over 70 student athletes that are going to be moving in the dorm. And so that's really fun, too, from start. And they've got, yes, they're elite athletes, but you got all the same emotions, and we can never lose sight of that.
Yeah. Let's dive into a little bit of Mississippi State. We'll start with the news that broke yesterday from Pete Thamel regarding a couple student athletes possibly returning to the Mississippi State football team. We talked to Coach Lebby earlier today. He was vague about it, but I think he had to be vague about it because there's so much gray area right now. I think his quote was, there's a lot of boxes left to check. From the university perspective, what does Mississippi State need to do? Or are you doing anything? Is it just a question of you got to wait on the NCAA to make their own decisions?
Yes, so much of the changes that are going on, and I know it seems abnormal, could seem frustrating for a lot of different people. It's frustrating for a lot of us, too, as practitioners in it, because you try to make a plan, and then something like a court case in Colorado changes what your plans are. And so for us, we're always going to play within the rules, but if the rules change, we're going to have to be able to adapt to them. So it's really nice to have both guys back on campus and working out, but we'll have to go through a handful of other steps with the NCAA, and there's still some rulings that we have to come out and hear how they go. So it's not there's no like just clear cut answers, and I think from a different model, that's what we're all really trying to fight for. So there is some sustainability and some clear direction on national standards, but until we get there, this is kind of the world we're operating in, and we're going to have to continue to be as bold as we possibly can.
Without violating privilege, what are those steps? Is it submitting stuff to the NCAA? I mean, because we saw Arian Carter at Tennessee get suspended for getting one flight paid for, which is laughable in and of itself. But so what are the steps in order to get these guys eligible, or do you even know what the steps are
now? So we're continuing to, and our compliance office does a great job working with our conference office, but also with the NCAA on getting our athletes back eligible. Some of it's just going to be a little bit of time, and there's no, again, this is every change, there's always downstream effects, and so we're still learning through all those boxes that Coach Levy referenced earlier to make sure that, you know, we're communicating the right thing to our athletes, but also it's going to take some time for us to make sure we get them, we get it properly vetted out, and they can hopefully have an opportunity to play. But a lot of it's going to be outside of our control.
When you got into college athletics, I imagine this was what you wanted to be talking about.
There's a lot of has changed in college athletics, but you know, you love what you do because you work with great people and you get to work with so many amazing coaches and athletes. But there's so much that's changed, and you think about it. A year ago, could you forecast some of the changes that have happened today? You're like, absolutely not. So, again, that's from a national level, from a conference level. That's why we're also bullish on making sure that we can get some national standards, that we can plan accordingly and make a great experience for everybody.
A year ago, you guys make the announcement you're going to install LED lights at Davis-Wade Stadium. I thought they were fantastic, you know, especially the Arizona State game, the post-game scenes are that. What's next at Davis-Wade Stadium? I know that the speakers are on the list. Where is that? What's the calendar for that?
Yeah, so like anything, you know, this time last year we were just rolling out, I believe it's just over $9 million in facility enhancements at Davis-Wade. Everything geared at, we want to make sure we continue to have a great environment. And I thought games like the Arizona State game, I know this year with our opener, we'll have an opportunity to really display the lights, and also our conference opener with Missouri, I believe it was a night window game. So we'll continue to look at it as we go from this time last year to now. There's a lot that's changed just on the economics and what the cost to retain rosters, to increase NIL offerings. So as we look at it, we want sound just as much as everybody. I want sound. Every time I'm standing in Davis-Wade on Saturday, I know what sound can, elite sound system can do for the in-game environment. But we also got to recognize this, the changes that are going on in our industry. So I can't give you an exact timetable of when it'll happen. Just know I want it, our fans want it, we want it. Everybody wants it, but we also have a great responsibility to be as smart with resources in this era as possible. We'll continue to look at things along with what we can do with the lights, what we can do with temporary sound options, also what we can do with our concessions and all of our points of sale. So those things will continue to be as bold moving forward as we possibly can. But know that our commitment to the sound project, just like we've shown, I think, over the last couple of years of putting in just north of $80 million in our facility projects across the board, you have to have all of it. And that's one of the key messages here, I think, in this era. Maybe things don't go as fast from a facility infrastructure, but it continues to take all of it to make sure we have the systems and the facilities in place, along with everything that we have to do with the economic changes of our business, to make sure we're a holistic competitive program.
We had Coach Jeremy McClain on last week, and I kind of asked him about this. How tough is it nowadays? We only got a couple minutes left in this segment. With NIL, you want to try to convince your fans, we need to channel our money here. But facilities are still a thing, and you have to have top-notch facilities. How difficult is that messaging?
Yeah, I empathize with fans, with donors, because it's been confusing for us a lot over the last couple of years, and it's really confusing for our fans and our donor base. I think the answer to your question is it takes everything, and I'm eternally grateful for the season ticket holders, for the donors, all the alums that have really stepped up and helped us getting us in a position to where we're at today. But yeah, the reality is, especially in our conference, you have to have everything if you're trying to go after the level of athletes we are, to not only get there, but also make sure that we have a program that's built for sustainability and success long term.
Speaking with Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director here at the Landing. It's the Not Fall Camp Tour. We're going to keep him around here for just a few more minutes and talk to him when we come back. Plenty still to talk about here at Mississippi State here in Starkville, so appreciate his time. We are here at the Landing. We would love for you to come out and join us if you would like, if you're, you know, end of the day for you. We've got some of Dak's fine tequila right there, a shot. It's on us. Me and Borky have got you covered.
Hey, Ed's already down to bottle.
That's
if you're
my
wondering
second,
why the show quality has gone down.
That's why I'm so giddy today, as they're telling us here. We'll be back in just a minute with Mississippi State Athletic Director Zach Selman. By the way, we were in Tampa for media days. You didn't tell me there was Selman Park and Selman Expressway and all this. I sent you a picture. I was like, where's your statue?
Hey, I better just go polish Uncle Leroy's statue off.
That caught me so off guard. I was like, Selman, I gotta get the phone out on that one. So,
you know, one of the funny stories on that, I didn't realize that he had the expressway there in Tampa named after him. I was actually driving down the road with him, and I kind of passed a sign. I was like, wait a minute, Uncle Leroy, are we on your expressway? He's like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
It means you can go as fast as you want.
He just show your name, right?
It's like, hey, my road.
This is my road.
No, he's used to growing up, you know, horses and buggies, and they rode mules to church. We go slow when my dad and then clearly when Uncle Leroy was living, he always drove really slow, so below the speed limit.
I got you.
We just watched a cycle where Congress attempted to pass the Protect College Sports Act, whatever that act was. They did not even bring it to a vote before recess. There's doubts whether or not it'll pass at all. Are you at a place now where you are considering what your colleague in Knoxville is talking about, collective bargaining? Where are you? Where's Mississippi State's stance on Congress's involvement and what should happen next to bring rules back to the sports?
Yeah, I think it starts with what you just said. We have to have rules that everybody knows that there's transparency with, that is enforceable, that's sustainable. And so one of the things is a recognition that what we're doing right now isn't working. And I appreciate so much work done locally on campuses, within conference offices, and then clearly with legislators in Washington, D.C. to help us get this to this point. I think we've had a lot of good discussions, and I know for Mississippi State it's great to have a president like Mark Keenum that has been involved in Washington most of his professional life. So he's got such great insight. I know working with the presidents and chancellors within the Southeastern Conference, you know, I think just a couple Fridays ago there was a statement of support for the Protect College Sports Act between the Big Ten presidents and the SEC presidents. So I think the goal is continue to see what happens after the Senate comes back from recess, which will be mid-September is when kind of the timeline we're looking at where this goes. But there's a lot of steps left in that process. You know, I think in the meantime, we also got to continue to explore what alternative options can be. Again, we know how things are going isn't sustainable. And I know I get tired of saying that word. Fans get tired of hearing that word. But until we have some national guardrails that we know what the rules are, that are enforceable, again, that there's clear national framework, we're going to continue to be in this patchwork system that doesn't really work for anybody. And so I'm in big favor of a lot of the things that are in the Protect College Sports Act. I know no bill is perfect, and so there's a lot of things that we got to continue to work through. But I think in the meantime, one of the great things about the Southeastern Conference is the commitment to the whole, and some of the conversations we've had of making sure, regardless of what happens with the Protect College Sports Act, we got to continue to be in a position to put our institutions and our conference in a really good position. So again, we know what we're doing right now won't work, and so this is a step. And I hope we can continue to work with Congress to make sure that we protect everything that we love about college sports and make it so it's fair for everybody that participates, but also sets it up for future generations. You know, I got in this business a lot because of what college athletics did for me, and we want to continue to make sure we're providing broad-based opportunities for males, females, because it truly is life-changing. Sometimes it again, in this era when you see NIL money, you see all the transfers, all the things that you might say aren't great with college athletics. Let me tell you, when you see you know, for us, just over 90% of our student athletes graduating, like that's meaningful. When you see the faces of kids that are about to move on campus, that's going to be really meaningful. So I think this is another step for us to try to take a step forward on national governance that can really help us have, again, rules, regulations, because without that, we're going to continue to be in this cycle where it's impossible to lead, impossible to manage.
You know, when you started here at Mississippi State, Mississippi State's NIL was not in a great place. We'll just be honest about it. Through a lot of hard work from you, your staff, from our friend Charlie Winfield, I feel like Mississippi State is in a place now where they are competitive within the Southeastern Conference and nationally in all the major sports for NIL. How do you feel about where State's NIL is right this second? Do you feel like – I feel like State's fans, for whatever reason, were slow to grip onto NIL, that they didn't want to do it at first. Do you feel now that you've got more acceptance from Mississippi State fans?
Yeah, I think people – I mean, anytime there's something new, it takes some time.
Yeah.
And so I think first it was just time and education on what it is, what it isn't. And our team has worked tirelessly to work with outside partners, work with systems within the athletics department, what we can control, to put us in a position where we can be competitive. And we've grown a lot. Nationally and especially in the Southeastern Conference, the year-over-year spends are going up at an exponential rate. You know, when you look at we've had record years of revenue each of the 3 years we've been here, but the rate of change, the rate of escalation, especially for roster retention, and that's one thing I don't think gets talked enough about, but when you look at where our NIL programs have been, I just look back at the football transfer class of this past offseason of being able to retain guys like Kamario Taylor that could have gone anywhere, Kelly Jones who could have went to the NFL or would be starting on any program in the country. The list will go on and on. Isaac Smith, Anthony Evans, and then you look at a player like Josh Hubbard. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
And, again, I'm not saying that disparaging of anything, but it's just that's the new world that we're living in. So for us to be able to get to a spot where we can retain our top talent, that's a huge testament to everybody that's bought into this. And we still have a long ways to go because we all want to be competitive. And, you know, when you talk about where what our fans have been able to do is whether it's things like having a third party like State 1878 come on board and really help start connecting our fans with our student athletes and helping our student athletes build their brands and capitalize off their brands. It takes everything. There's not a silver bullet. And so I'm so proud of our staff, but also so grateful for so many of our fans that have stepped up in significant ways, whether it's what they can do individually, but also what businesses like the one we're sitting in right now have stepped up and seen the true value of helping our student athletes. And in most cases, you'll see a huge return on what the businesses are getting from working with our student athletes. So again, really pleased with where we're at. But knowing this is going to be something that we got to continue to work on and continue to put ourselves in a position because we can't expect our coaches just to go have success unless we're willing to do what success looks like today.
So when we had you on last year, you and I, we had a long discussion about a logo. I'm sure you remember. And, you know, at that time I wasn't sure about that logo and what the future it was. Now I see it everywhere, and I love seeing it. I just want to ask, is that now official? Is that the football team's logo at this point?
You know, clearly you saw it last year prominent in the football. You know,
I was so happy.
We'll continue to display that logo, that mark. And, you know, anytime you look at whether it's a logo or a brand, you look at it for fan affinity, brand awareness. Also, you know, we're in the business of recruiting and making sure that all of our uniforms and all the gear have something that offer the young men and women we're recruiting. So we'll always look at it, but I know you'll see that mark a lot more as you saw it last year.
That's good. That's good news. I appreciate you doing that.
Have you got it tattooed yet?
No, I'm not a tattoo.
Didn't you tell me?
There's another guy on the beat that has the tattoo market covered. I don't deal with that.
I feel like you told me last year.
It's on his heart. It's tattooed right there on his heart. It's interior tattoo.
You're so sentimental.
Something like that, Zach. Something like that. I have enough shirts. Let's put it that way. The shirts are in the closet. I got my maroon and white watch on. I'm good to go. I guess we'll wrap up with this. 2026, 2027, what is the athletic year about to start, as you said. What is that athletic year going to look like for Mississippi State from your perspective in terms of not only just success on the field, but what you want to get done here on campus?
Yeah, we have to just continue to build and continue to get better. We got to continue to develop. Sometimes it's I think it sounds a lot more complex than it is, but if our staff continues to get better every day and our coaches continue to get better every day, and that's the same thing we ask our athletes to get better every day. We've been so process focused, and you know, yes, everybody wants to win every game, and we hit the pitch tomorrow in soccer, we're going to, Coach O'Brien in his first year, he's going to want to win the game. But we know that the reality is we're not going to win every game. But if we control everything that we can control, I like our chances. And so we'll continue to build. And there's no shortcut for just hard work every day. And that's what we'll continue to do.
As far as fundraisers go, I asked Coach Lebby if he would do one of those let the fans call the first play thing that they did up at Akron. And I wanted to do it for the media. He said no. I told him we'd score.
Isn't there like a little motto in life, everything's for sale?
I'm
sure if you come up with the right number, we'll come up with something.
I'll have my people call your people, Zach. Zach Selman, Mississippi State Athletic Director, always a pleasure. Really appreciate your time here today. We're here.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.